From our studios in Cuenca, Spain, I'm Kate Jetmore with Listen. Season 2 continues today with our interview series featuring members of the international wellness community. From food to exercise, stress to sleep, we're taking an honest look at how to find a healthy balance in life. My guest today is Dolca Lina Vasquez. Originally from Colombia, Dolca followed her innate sense of well-being when she opened Dolcalicious several years ago. Since then, life has led her in some unexpected directions. She currently teaches Spanish in Richmond, Indiana, where she lives with her daughter, Gabriela. Hi, Dolca, and welcome.
Hello, Kate.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for your invitation. I'm very, very excited.
Welcome. I want to start at the beginning, and I think the beginning is Colombia. Is that right?
Absolutely. Colombia, of course. This is my mother country is when I was born.
Yeah, so you grew up in Colombia, and that's kind of where the mold was set. You know, that's where your childhood memories occurred. That's where, you know, you sort of learned the rhythm of life, how to eat, how to, you know, how much to work, what a schedule is sort of to be expected each day. So what are your memories of that? Can you describe that to us a little bit?
Of course, yes. Well, my Colombia has the of course, my good memories because I grew up there, and Colombia is a country with full of colors, full of generosity, and the people is just considerate for the, you know, the magazines, they are considered the most happy people in the whole world. That means you can listen music, the people is laughing every part, and you can find food wherever you go, and that means it's very welcoming people. Mm. And in Colombia, this is the characteristic that we have, friendly all the time. Mm. Yeah, and this is my memories is just, it's this kind of warm, of everybody has a warm heart, and this is something special for me.
And do you feel like as a Colombiana, you carry that feeling of warmth and welcoming and welcomeness around with you in the world? Because you've lived several different places.
Yes, I think, well, one is just because I am from Colombia, and all this is our characteristic. We are very welcoming people. And plus, my personality is just, I am outgoing people, a jet person. I am a outgoing person. Just to me, it's just, I need to carry this with me every part I go. Wherever I am in Indiana, and it's cold. And so this is the people ask me all the time, why you like to live here? You know, you are from Colombia. Why here? And are you happy here? And they say, well, I'm happy wherever I go.
Interesting. Interesting. So how did you end up in the United States, or, you know, more specifically in Indiana? Can you tell us that part of your journey?
Of course. Well, I'm married with an American-British guy, and his family is from Ohio. And this was, we moved first to Ohio. And Ohio, the tiny town where we lived before, is close to Indiana. To Richmond, Indiana, when I am living now. And I moved here because the life, and we have situations in our lives to make us take decisions to change. And sometimes we're scared for the change, but I'm a person who, I don't scare for the change. I like the change in my life. Everything, when the change coming, I embrace the change. Mm. Because make me be a very person if I am taking the good way. Mm-hmm. And I come here with my daughter and my son, and I remember my English was so poor, and I remember 6 bags, my daughter, my son, and my husband. He was waiting for me, and I move here, and I say, oh my God, I really want to be here. Look this, I need to learn English. I don't know how is the life. I don't know the culture. I don't know the people. And for first time was a shock, but hey, I am here. I need to go forward. This is what I need to do.
So it sounds like you were, this big change happened and you were ready for the change. You took the plunge, you took the leap, and then reality set in.
Exactly.
And it's so how did you face that? How did you live through that moment? What did you do?
Well, the first time I was crying.
Of course you were.
Of course I was crying and say, oh, maybe my life in Colombia was better. I can come back to Colombia. But I say, no, I am here. I need to look forward.
Right. And there were three other people involved, right? So your children were watching you. You know, what does a person do when they're in a difficult situation? Do they give up and go back? Or do they take a deep breath and meet the challenge? And of course, your husband. I mean, you had flown to the States to be with him. So how did you, I want to know how you improved your language skills, because that must have been an immediate challenge.
Well, yes. And do you know what I did, Kate? I did different things. The first thing to say, well, my daughter, she was in this time one year and a half. She was start to speak Spanish, and at the same time she start to know English. And I say, well, I am going to do whatever Gabriela do, I am going to do the same. Just like watch the cartoons, that read the same books she read, and do everything. Just one thing.
And so and your daughter learned English together.
Yes, we learned English together. And this is what we did together.
Wow.
We did together. And I start with my daughter in the same way. And then, obviously, she was pretty fast. You know, with her English, she's a child.
Right.
But in the same time, I say in home, well, you need to help me. And by myself, always we speak Spanish in home. Mm-hmm. And because I don't want my child to lose maternal language.
Right.
And I do everything for they keep their own, my maternal language. But I discovered the passion to read cooking books and watch food channels. And I said, well, it's something I like to do, but I never had the time in Colombia to do. When I was a teenager, always I like cook. I never invest my time in sports, just was in cooking classes. And I say, well, maybe I find interesting things here, and this is why I start to develop my language. And my mother-in-law, she bought a lot. She had a full collection of books, but
these were cookbooks with recipes.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
From different parts of the world, and she has a huge collection. She was the worst cooker. She just didn't know how to cook, but she bought a lot of books.
She was trying to get better.
Yeah, it was so funny. And I say, well, I'm going to start. And I went to the library. It was so funny because my son, he always has a joke about that. Because when I say, I am going to prepare food from Thailand. And he say, well, this is the Thailand week. My mom is going to cook just food for one country every week. And this is what I did. And this is in the way I start to learn English.
Wow.
And discover a passion.
Wow. So you already had some history with cooking. You said that instead of playing sports when you were younger, you would cook and things like that. But then you you discovered that you actually really loved it when you decided to delve into these cookbooks. How amazing and how lucky for the people of Richmond, Indiana, which is my hometown. So I just want to share with our listeners how you and I met.
No.
This was several years ago. How many years ago? Six, seven?
Oh, more of that.
More?
Seven or eight years ago.
And I was in the historic district of Richmond. Mm-hmm. They call it the Depot District because it's near where the old train station was, and the train still runs through there every day. And I walked into this beautiful old kind of warehouse where there are some different shops and some different kind of like pop-up restaurants. Mm-hmm. And there was this beautiful corner with these gorgeous windows and the light streaming through. And there's this woman with this beautiful, colorful kerchief in her hair and this just gorgeous apron and this beautiful smile. And it was you. And you were making juices and smoothies and just whipping things up, you know, home-cooked food. Obviously, you weren't in your home, but it was all just made from scratch. And you could smell the cilantro, and there was rice cooking, and just all, I mean, just cutting the avocados in half by hand. And I thought, oh my gosh, I was only there for the summer because I live in Spain, so I was just visiting for the summer. And I thought, I am going to eat at this restaurant as many times as I can this summer. And I did.
This is true.
And that was your restaurant, Dolcalicious. So how did Dolcalicious come to be?
Oh, well, thank you for your nice words with how we met. But, you know, you described the corner like a really, really, I feel when I saw this corner when I was in town eating a sandwich in this area, because it was a place when we share different describe different service, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I have close to me a person who has a sandwich or their ice cream, and it was a store with we can share the space.
Yeah, it was almost like a food court. Like there was there were like different different food options, and then kind of like a common seating area. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I was there one time with my husband, and I all the time I was complaining for the food when we go out. What are you going to eat? Oh, no. I prefer buy the things and cooking home. No. And this day we was eating there a sandwich, and I saw this corner, and I say, hey, Ray. Oh, look these windows. Oh, you can imagine a place here when we can sell juices, healthy things to share with the people, and I can do that. And he said, don't care, you're crazy. We are in the Midwest. Who is going to drink your juices?
So that is so interesting, because you and I've never heard you describe this conversation with your husband, you know, before the place opened. But I certainly have had that thought. You know, it's a really interesting, where's that tipping point between, okay, here's a place that has no green juice and smoothie places because there's no demand for green juice and smoothie places. So you decide with your whole heart to open this place and serve green juice and smoothies, and you eventually ended up serving food as well. So was there a demand? Were people excited?
Well, it was very interesting, you know, because he said, you're not going to have customers, Volka. And I say, well, Raymond, maybe we have the customers, but they don't know where they can find the things like me, you know? And maybe I can wake up the good taste for the food in this area. Maybe I can do something for the people here. And at the same time, I can do a thing I like to do.
Imagine.
And I can talk with the people, and I love cook with two good things. And he say this thing, okay, Dolka. Well, you spend a lot of time in home cooking. You can spend the same time here cooking for 3 or 4 more people. It's okay. Just do it.
Okay. So is that what it was? 3 or 4 more people?
When we start by don't have any idea. Zero. We don't do any marketing research or nothing. Just, well, I follow my dream and say, hey, I can do that. And that's something he say, well, if we are going to spend the same money you spend just cooking in home,
why not? Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. He say, just do it, Dolka. And I open just for 3 days a week. And the owner of the place, he was very nice with us, and he said, yes, you are welcome to have this tiny little corner. Do you remember? It was so tiny.
I do remember.
And you say restaurant, I say, oh my God, what's so tiny? And I start with juices and from scratch. Everything was organic. Everything was handmade. I don't add any kind of nothing, just natural things, because I believe we need to eat natural, and this help us just know in our body, in our mind, in everything. It's just we can find a balance if we eat good.
Mm-hmm.
And we start with juices, and I do a lot of research. You can imagine I spend a lot of time just reading and looking. And the first was the name of the place. And I asked, what is the name of the place I'm going to put here? And my son say, put Dolkalicious. This is your delicious Dolka. Dolkalicious. Yes, this is the name.
It was your son's idea? Wasn't he like 10 years old then?
Yes, he was in this time 10 or 11 years old. And he said, put Dolkalicious, man. You are Dolkalicious. I say, well, yes, Dolkalicious.
And it's the perfect name.
Yeah. And we start and just put love. Just as that, I think it just was love there. And we start with one customer, and the other customer came, and the other customer. And this is just, they spread the word, because we don't have in this time too much media or something like that. Just spread the word. And my juicers was, you know, everybody come. I have just customers who start to come daily just for drink juices. And then one day I was preparing the food for my family. One customer come and say, hi, do you sell this salad? And I say, why not? Yes, I sell the salad. And he took the salad. And you know what was the customer? Your dad.
What?
Yes, your dad was the customer who make me think I can cook not just food, not just juices, just make food.
I had no idea. I had no idea, but I love that. Okay, so you open this restaurant and your husband says, yeah, go for it. As long as, you know, spend the money that you would be spending on ingredients for our house, and maybe you'll get 3 or 4 customers. You're only open 3 days a week. You're selling juices with all these gorgeous ingredients. I remember you always had these beautiful big fruit bowls just piled high with all the ingredients that were going to go into the juicer or the blender. And this one day, between customers, you're making your family's lunch, thinking, okay, yeah, well, when's the next person going to walk in and buy juice? And it's my dad, and he buys the bowl of food that you're making for your family.
Exactly. And he say, oh, this is so good. And I say, every day you are doing this? And I say, yes.
So that was the moment. No,
every time you open your store, you are selling that lunch. And what's the lie? I say yes, but not just because he lied and say, well, why no? Yes, I say yes, yes, yes. I am selling the lunch. And your dad was the person who make me think and do that.
Oh, my God.
And this day, other person was walking, and he say, this salad is so good. And the other person say, ah, okay, I can buy. Well, I sell the salad for my family. And when I remember Santiago finished his school, he came and say, Mom, what is the lunch? And I said, well, I need to tell you I sold all the...
I sold your food.
I sold your food. We don't have. I need to prepare more. And this is what this idea come from. Just this specific situation. Just this what's happened.
Wow. So there was a demand because you weren't even thinking of food. The people came to you and they said, I see what you're doing and I want that and I will pay for that. I have to say, hearing you describe it sounds so special and fulfilling and exhausting.
Yes, that you described perfect. Yes, is what it was. Because you... Okay, and I start to think, how am I going to prepare food in this tiny corner? Okay, and in the same time, this is other thing always I thinking, when we are in a restaurant, we don't know how the people prepare the food we are eating. It's just selling food, and just we eat the food. But I like the space I have was an open space that everybody can come, like it's my kitchen, it's my house. This tiny space is Dolca's house, is how I cook for my family, is in the same way I cook for my customers. And they start like, you know, I know Kate, she likes this way. And this other customer, I know the names of my customers. I spend time with them chatting. They come and see, hey, Dolca, how do you prepare this? How do you prepare that? And this was, I think, I just cooking or doing a business. I was creating or growing a community. It's just what I'm thinking. This is one of my thoughts. This is nice.
People do hunger for that. You know, when you use the word hunger, it's about needing to feed yourself, right? So when you get hungry, your stomach rumbles, you need to eat food. But people also hunger for community and they hunger for connection and they hunger for, you know, conversation in someone's kitchen. And you really did provide that to people. I absolutely remember that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kate. And for my surprise, you can imagine like the friendship we did together. I did a lot of friends just in Dolcalicious, mm-hmm. just friends, real friends. They came to me and I remember people when they only came to me, not just for, they make the line just for talk with me and say, hey, Dolca, I have this situation. Hey, Dolca, how we can just share with me, include personal things. And I feel so blessed to have this opportunity. And I asked some people, who recommend this space? I said, what somebody say? Well, I have diabetes and I have cancer and I am struggle with my diet. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you are preparing the things I need to eat. And I say, well, this is something I am doing good for others. This is just my mission to try to help others.
And just Dolca, do you still feel that way, that's your role in life? That's your calling in life to help people?
I think yes. And I think, Kate, if every person in this world, we come here just for stay happy, be happy, and serve others, and help others in in any role you have in your life, you can help others.
Yeah.
With a good attitude, with a smile, with a good word in the right time. And this is our, not just Dolken mission, just I think everybody missions in this life. This life will be better. We are here just a journey.
Mm.
Why do make this journey good? This journey needs to be good if we do our best part. In any position, any activity, anything you do in your life, you need to think in others.
That's right. And hearing you describe Dolkalicious, I absolutely remember that aspect of the restaurant and that whole chapter of your life, that you were there. You were selling food, you were making this gorgeous food, and it was surrounded by all this wonderful energy. That chapter came to a close. Now you are teaching. You're teaching Spanish at high school, also in Richmond, Indiana. And I'm sure that, you know, that's also part of the calling that you've just described. You know, you're still helping people. You're still a guide. You're still... you know, hopefully a positive role model for children who, or, you know, young people who, some of whom may not have another positive role model in their life. You know, you are that smiling face each morning. Do you think that Dolkalicious will ever come back in some way, whether it's in that beautiful tiny corner or in some other incarnation?
This is a great question, because, you know, I can share with you, when I go back to this corner and I see this corner, I feel a lot of my feelings, they are, and I hear from other people say, hey, Dolka, could you please go back? And with my students, I can share to you too. I don't lose my passion for cook. Always I bring food with my students. I feed, you know, the knowledge and with the food.
Do you really? You bring food to class to your high school students?
Yes, I bring food to the class, and I share how prepare this, and I prepare the food, and they say, oh, teacher, you are the only one who bring us these things and share with them cultural food, and I can take out this passion.
It's part of you. Do you prepare that food and bring that food because of who you are, or because you see a need in the students?
I feel that this is a two ways. It's a combination of the one is my nature. Second is because, yeah, I don't know if I can say the same in English, but in Spanish, we always see everything goes for your stomach. You know, you go into the stomach and you are in the soul of the people.
Yeah.
It's like I conquer the heart of these kids, not just, okay, I am take care of you. I am bringing things because I am thinking this is the noon. You are hungry. You are not going to pay attention. If you a stomach is full, you are going to pay attention, and they think I am taking care of them, just as a gesture, mm-hmm. and it's something I think is a combination of the two things. It's my nature, and I see the necessity to do a connections, and the connection is in this way and works.
Wow. I had no idea that you were doing that. And I actually think that, this is a whole nother conversation. I might need to have you back. because, I mean, it's true. A hungry kid can't think. A hungry kid can't concentrate. So that's an amazing service that you're doing. I wish we could hand out samples of your beautiful food to everyone who's listening to our conversation right now. But maybe the next best thing would be a recommendation from you, or a quick, easy recipe that you could recommend.
Well, of course, it is just my recommendation is just taking care of health, or just cooking or eating well doesn't mean it's going to be more expensive, or doesn't mean it's going to be more complicated.
Okay.
No, it's just you can have a good budget, and if you buy smart, and I can share just one thing. When I moved here, I went to a good friend of mine, and she's raising hens. And I say, hey, Francisca, could you please raise my hens too? I want to have fresh eggs too every day. And we have. And this is one of the things. When you can eat and just support farmers, or just buy the seasonal fruit, the seasonal vegetables, you can eat well, and you are not going to put more in your budget. Second is just include everything in your diet, in the way you eat. Try new things. Don't be boring to eating always the same. Put more spices, just thyme, you know, a ginger. Why we like ginger is very healthy, and we can try. Probably is going to like us, you know. Just try. Don't say no to the new things in the eating world. Eating well means include different things, the variety. We have a lot. This is there. And the recipe I can share with you is very, very simple.
Okay.
How we can do dressing. You know, dressing, we want to buy dressings. No. Just you can prepare your own dressings in home. Just put in any kind of salad. Okay, a basic dressing you can put in just a mix of vegetables with avocado, and you have your avocado, you have your tomato, you have your onion, for example. And this is what you can do. Just mix a part of lemon, just squeeze the lemon and put Himalaya salt. I prefer Himalaya salt. I like Himalaya salt, and put.
I didn't understand the last thing you said. After the lemon, what did you say?
Lemon, salt, Himalaya salt.
Ah, okay, Himalayan salt. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Himalayan salt, and lemon, Himalaya salt, and pepper, and put any sweet, like natural sweet, agave or honey or any kind of think about agave or honey, just this okay. Kind of sweet mm-hmm. you want to mm-hmm. add. Just you can mix this, and this is a good and olive oil, the lemon, the sweetness, salt,
and pepper.
Just this is a dressing. This is simple dressing. Okay, if you want to make a little bit fancy the dressing, just you don't add for example, you don't add you can add any marmalade, just
okay,
I don't know, who replace the agave or the honey,
right? Okay.
Or any kind of little bit of very concentrated natural juice, mm-hmm. or juice of orange juice, mandarin juice, instead of the lemon. This is the other dressing. Or you can put garlic. You can put other kinds. You can play, but the main ingredients always need to be something with acid, something sweet, and the olive oil, and of course the salt and pepper. This is just the main
that sounds delicious. I predict, are you ready for my prediction?
Yeah, I am ready.
I predict a Dulgalicious cookbook. What do you think?
this will be great.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And when the Dolkalicious cookbook comes out, you'll come back on the show and we'll provide a link on our website and you'll talk all about the cookbook. Does that sound good?
Oh, sounds great.
Oh my goodness.
You make.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Dolka, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm really, really grateful for all your advice and for you taking the time, and I always benefit from your point of view.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for always you keep me in your thoughts and all the nice words you say, and of course the amazing advice you gave me.
Well, ditto. I feel the same way. Thank you, Dolka. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
Bye. This completes our series featuring members of the international health and wellness community. Many thanks to Olga and Pavan Galati of Juno Health and Wellness, Sasha Jones of Stigley Holistics, and Dolka Lina Vasquez for their generous contributions. Listen is sponsored by RAV, cutting-edge cuisine in a traditional setting. For a look at the RAF dining experience, visit www.rafsanpedro.es. That's www.rafsanpedro.es. The producers of Listen are Lauren Lovett and Laura Munoz Solera. Our technical director and engineer is Iñaki Martinez, with original music by Lucas Munoz Jetmore. I'm Kate Jetmore, and this is Listen.